Does anybody have any Bible questions?
I do.
Anybody besides Sister McGowan? No, I'm just kidding. Has anybody else got any questions? Yes.
As long as she fries apples,
she's doing good. Yeah. For you, it's frying apples. Mm-hmm. Well. We need to wait till they get here before we answer this question.
We'll give you something to think on.
Yeah. No, it is a good question. I'm just going on. You know, every home, every marriage, every home, every institution, every corporation, or every business or proprietorship has an order to it. God has an order. It trickles down as far as authority is concerned. Paul said that, well, let me say a little bit more before I mention any scriptures. Every relationship has an order to it. And so, for you to for there to be harmony in every relationship, we'll just call it all relationship, because it is. Jesus has a relationship with his Father. Jesus had a relationship with mankind, you know, starting with Adam, and then the righteous line, Abraham, Israel, Moses, the priesthood. So it all boils down to what direction are we going in and who's in authority to direct us. And if you're not in harmony with whoever's in authority, you're out of that order. It may not be the order of God, but every relationship has an order, and if you're not in harmony with the order, then you're going to have problems. There won't be any, you know, there won't be any peace or unity, or there won't be very much accomplished. So, just, you know, even people who are not serving God have to learn this. People who never learn it wind up changing jobs often, or getting laid off or fired, because if they don't get along with the boss, they don't get along with whoever's in charge, they're not going to succeed. That's just all there is to it. You're just not going to have success if... And no relationship, you know, is going to, you're not whoever a subordinate. Everybody understand, you know, subordinates are those that are under someone else's authority in a relationship. And you are never going to be 100% in agreement with whoever's in charge. You're not even going to agree with God on some things. It seems like sometimes God's played favorites. It seems like that he's more lenient on some than others. You watch, you know, you look at things, you question it. You think, why did God do this? You've got to really get his mind and his wisdom to see how he operates. Like it's in Isaiah where he said, come and let us reason together. God's reasonable. He'll reason with you, but he's going to have the final say. Well, you're going to encounter that with any relationship you're in. And so it's just a general rule that everybody is going to have to learn that for you to be in harmony, have peace, enjoy, be happy, you're going to have harmony in whatever relationship you're in. If you're a person that cannot humble yourself under authority, then you're going to find yourself alone. You're just going to keep moving outside of relationships that you're uncomfortable with because there's no harmony there until you find yourself alone, and then that's depressive. It's, that puts you in a position where you wind up blaming most people. When I'm saying you, I'm just talking about you, whoever is. I'm not talking about any one of you people individually, but including me, I'm included in the you here, the subordinates. We're all under authority somewhere. And you'll find yourself in a place where you're not happy if you can't find a way to work with authority. Now, having said that, you know, there's unreasonable authorities that all of those different conditions have to be considered. That's, I guess, one of my positions in the body. I've taken a position for many years that men who try to dictate to saints, I think they're out of order with God. I think there's a fine line. There's a line, a balance where you have to maintain an authority, but you cross over when you start becoming I'm going to say an absolute dictator, because you do have to dictate order. You have to dictate rules. There's nothing wrong with that word dictate, but when you become an absolute dictator, you know, if you go back in this body, you'll find out that there are men that manipulated people with fear tactics. You know, it kind of was an old school, you know, that you did what they said or you got run up a flagpole. I mean, they'd use a pulpit as a whipping post, they'd rail and strike on you for hours. And God tolerated that for a period of time, and I think the reason he did is because as a society, we were pretty roughshod. God couldn't use too many, not many wise, not many noble, or could God use? So he had to choose the are nots, you know, those that are not, to bring to naught the things that are. So God had to start with, just like Jesus, when he came to the world, he couldn't find not one man in the priesthood that he could use. God didn't even look there for him. He just knew that's excluded. So he started in with a bunch of fishermen and tax collectors and got a bunch of guys that, you know, wouldn't be men that would have been chosen among any religious ranks, probably, to be in charge of the order of it. And God's had to do that because He can't find people humble enough. He starts out, you know, people that know. I think Jesus said that one time. He said, they that are not sick, He's talking to the Jews, have no need of a physician. If you don't see you need me and you don't need what I have for you, He's saying, then I can't help you. You know, you don't see any need. They didn't need Him as a Messiah. They had more answers. You know, they were happy with their father Abraham. So, God, you know, He tolerated a lot of roughness, dealing with people in a rougher way. Sister Crow, you could hear it in Sister Crow's voice here not too long ago when she gave a testimony talking about the men she came up under, told it how it is, and that's the way it is, period. And sometimes you just got to tell it like it is. You could tell that, you know, she saw some benefit in that back there, and she might have been, you know, a little bit worried about me. I don't know that was her intent or at all, but it's all right if it was, because I can certainly understand it. That you're either too hard or you're too, you know, you're either too lenient or you're too strict. To find that middle of the road, there I go again, Brother Stuart, to find that middle of the road place where you're not too strict and you're not too lenient is hard to do, and it takes wisdom, it takes experience. That's right. That's right. So you can't go by altogether what the Gallup poll says. You know, you have to try to find God's approval, and you have to hold steady in areas where people think you ought to loosen up, and you have to realize, you know, men of God are men, and we have a tradition in this body. You know, there's traditions that we have that are that have become traditions of our order. I'll just give you one of them. But women song leaders has become a tradition among us, where under the law, it was the priesthood. The priesthood did the singing. The priesthood did the playing the music. I know that they didn't exclude women altogether. I mean, you can find trinkles where, you know, Moses' sister, wasn't it? She came out with the tambourines dancing, and all the women were joined in and were shouting and rejoicing. So, I wouldn't think that even under Moses that I don't see anywhere where that was corrected or changed or done away with. But I'm just showing there's traditions. God allows, He puts men in authority, and He backs up their authority and lets them operate, and He works with that operation, and He makes adjustment as He goes, and He's very patient. So our order, it is a changing order, because God's helping us, and we wouldn't be in restoration if it wasn't changing. This meeting that we had in Brownsville was a meeting concerning the order of the ministry, how we deal with people. I had a telephone call yesterday from a minister that said, "I think that meeting did a lot of good." He told me about something that happened. He was telling me about some people that was moving from one church to his church. And he said, you know, these people had went and talked to this pastor, And this pastor wouldn't even talk to him. He wouldn't even let him bring it up. I mean, they'd try to bring it up, he'd change the subject, and he wouldn't even let him talk to him about it. But then they went to him again after the Brownsville meeting, and they came in. They were all sweating and nervous and shaking and worried, you know, whether or not they was even going to get to talk. And he said, y'all just relax. He said, there's not going to be no problem here. And he just talked to them, got them all settled down and told them, you know, I don't have a problem if y'all feel like you need to make a move. He had a job, you know, in another place, and there were reasons. But this pastor was telling me, I said, boy, I think that meeting did some good. I said, it did some good for him, but I'm wondering how much good it's doing for you. You seem to be enjoying getting these saints new from somebody else, and I'm just wondering if you'd do as good as he did if they was moving from your church to his. Because I've heard him and talked to him about, you know, he don't like that. He just died laughing, you know. But anyway, that meeting was, it was dealing with us as a ministry, how we deal with ministerial courtesy one toward another, and what kind of order we have to do that. One thing that was reiterated, that if a saint comes and talks to you from another assembly, you know, that you ought to have the courtesy to call that pastor if it's something that really is important. I'll just tell you right now, I've had people come talk to me, and I wouldn't call their pastor. It wasn't nothing to get it, you know. And it would, some pastors would feel like, you know, they'd be aggravated at a saint for doing that. I do think saints ought to come talk to their pastor first if there's a problem, and see if they can work that out. Do y'all know that pastors knows when something's wrong with you? I can tell you, every person in this church, when your spirit's ruffled about something, and if it stays that way, it won't take me very long to know it. And I'll know why. I know it. We got people that way right now. We always have somebody whose feathers are ruffled. And the pastors, you can't be dumb. You know, I mean, you know, you watch people, you see their features, you know, their countenance change, their actions change. And really, it's a wrong spirit to get in a spirit like that. I mean, you ought to go talk to your pastor and see if you can't work it out. See if they're communicate. Biggest problem between relationships is communication. Always. It's communication. A lot of those problems just work themselves out, I found out. I used to try to put my hand on a lot of them, try to deal with them way too early, and it'd just stir up the fire, you know, so... Found out sometimes it's better off just let the fire die down. Just let it go out if it will. But I think that everyone in every relationship, husbands, you know, every relationship, job, bosses, ministers, whoever, they ought to try to be reasonable, you know, that they would be considerate. But the bottom line is you can't cover every base. There's just too many variables in the kingdom of God, and you're going to step on somebody's toes. You're not going to be considerate enough about some things. You're just not going to have the wisdom or the experience to cover all those bases. And people are going to have to accept you as a human that has error, that don't know everything and don't have all wisdom. But you're going to have to be at least balanced enough in leadership that, you know, you're not, that nobody can put up with you, or you won't have any people, you know, after a while. So it boils down to the fact that whoever's in charge, just like our general body, we as ministers have to learn how to function with the traditions of our order And we may realize some of it needs to change. But again, if you don't have the voice, see, if you don't have a voice to change, it's just like, you know, there's things in the body that I see maybe need some correction. But if I tried to correct it and I didn't have a voice of authority to correct it, I'd just hurt myself by voicing it. Now, to an extent, there should be enough mercy and grace and enough wisdom that you can let people voice things that they may not have the authority to make changes, but you can at least hear them. Be patient enough. It just depends, you know, if they are so bold that they're, you finally see it's in their spirit that they're trying to take control and trying to get an authority and they don't have any. That's where that needs to be corrected. But I think even in every home, a child should be able to appeal to its mother or father if they've got a problem with something their mother or father did. And I don't think there's anything with the mother or father seeing that child's right, and I need to repent to them, and I need not do that anymore. You know, and all of it has to do with how you come up in life. I mean, I come up in life, my dad's was old school. I mean, my dad tell you not to do something once. You know, we had that old Indian proverb in my family. You know, one time fool, no fool; two time fool, big fool. You know, my dad tell you once, you wasn't no fool. He wasn't gonna whoop you because he just make sure you understood this is absolutely something you're not gonna do. The next time you done it, you was a big fool. Because he didn't stop and talk or nothing else. He just beat the hide off of you. I came up believing that you just have, that's how you handle everything. Just beat the hide. Whoop a dog, whoop a cow. I seen my cousin one time put a twitch on a mule's nose and beat him down into the ground. I thought he'd die, but he did live over it. But that mule didn't have a clue why he was getting beat up like that. He didn't understand what he wanted him to do. But I know one thing, when he seen him coming, he whatever, whatever he wanted to do, he'd try to do it. You know, he'd try to be acting like he understood. So, you know, we all have influences. And so I know I'm making a broad range here, but to bring it down to each individual home, every marriage has an order to it. You have to work out that order, and you have to learn how to work in harmony with it, or you're going to have a very unhappy life, or you're not going to make it. And it's that way on the job. You know, I've watched men and women both. I've watched men go from job to job, and they always think it's somebody else, it's somebody else's fault, everybody's against me. They never consider, I need to change what I'm the one that's having trouble. You know, if a man can't make a commitment, or a woman, and they can't get committed, you can watch that in people's lives, they won't commit to nothing. They won't commit to being anywhere on time. They won't commit to, you know, being a part of the group. They won't commit. They're non-committal. That's a good sign that they don't want any authority. They don't want any authority over them. They don't want anybody telling them what to do. They're non-committal. They won't, you know, they don't blend their spirit. They can't become a part of something very easy. And here again, people grow up with all of those influences and all of those different things. God has to help people. All of us have to get help. There may be other areas in other people's lives that are just as bad, but if you don't have enough humility and enough understanding of order, you won't ever get in a position where God can help you with other things. So the bottom line, you know, in church, in the body of Christ, you're going to have to get in order. You're going to have to try to find out what's the mind of whoever's in authority here, and can I work with it? Let me work with it. Let me realize that if there's an anointing there and God's using that man and that man's saving lives, people's getting the Holy Ghost and he's reasonable, then let me see if I can work with this. Let me, you know, and then, you know, if you, you know, in other words, you listen to what's being taught. If you do what's not being taught, you're not going to, you know, every one of us should want to move up. Every one of us should want God to use us. We're all leaders. We're all growing in leadership. And we should all want God to use us in some measure. We should want our gift to be, you know, a successful gift of God's workmanship, that it's effective. And, you know, now I realize I'm not working so much here on the side of, you know, the side of imbalance in order or authority. You know, that's another area that would have to bring all this into balance. But let's just say that, I mean, I'm working from the standpoint that whoever's in authority is reasonable. They've got experience. They're qualified for the position. And that they've shown that they're reasonable. But just because a man's reasonable, I will tell you, I mean, there's leading men I've been privy to. You know, I started out working under Brother Don Patton, which that was very fortunate for me, because a lot of men never get that kind of exposure to great leadership. When Brother Don Patton, you know, when he left this body, Clyde Patton took me under his wing. And that was great for me. I mean, Brother Patton came to Missouri many, many times, sometimes stayed 4 or 5 days with us, many times. I got to glean things from him, ask him all kind of questions. I watched and studied that man and man, those men in meetings. Then when he died, Brother Liniger, you know, came to me and felt like God talked to him about me working with him. And so that was another great thing for those are three great men that I got to work with and sit under and study and watch. And what did I bring all that up for? I had some reason I wanted to make a point. Yeah. Yes. You know, here's why I brought that up, is I saw faults in those men. You know, anybody like Brother Tucker was a great man, built this work here in the beginning, founded it. But every one of you that really sat under him, worked close with him, you knew he had faults. Brother Tucker wasn't perfect. He was roughshod, but God was with him. You know, God would touch your soul, Brother Tucker. You could move forward in God, and that's what meant more to people than the little faults that he had. I saw faults in those men. I saw areas that I didn't agree with them, but I couldn't change them. I knew I couldn't change them. I wouldn't even attempt to try to change them. They were too great overall than for me to try to pick out a flaw. And I had to learn. I think those part of my little red schoolhouse, my learning ground of learning how to work with an order in this body and men who are in great leadership, and hold my foot when I in the kingdom of heaven, and learn from the exposure and experience of watching and studying men who were successful. At the same time, I realized that there's areas. After Brother Clyde Patton died and Brother Liniger died, I've counseled a lot with Billy Brown. Billy Brown's a great man. He's a great man of God, and he's got a lot of wisdom. But I can tell you right now, as much as I love him, as much as great as he is, there's things he won't bend on that I know he's wrong on. You know, there he is. I can't see why he holds a position he holds. He ain't gonna change on it. He's fixed in that. God allows that. You know, in other words, it may not be so important for him to change on that. I accept the fact him and I aren't in harmony on everything, but when it comes to wisdom and counsel of how to maintain peace in the body, and I was going to say a minute ago, all these guys were talking about in the Brownsville meeting about how you need to call, you know, if a saint comes talk to you about moving to their church, well, you need to call that pastor right away and talk to him. Somewhere along in the discussion of all that, Brother Brown says, well, he said, I guess, you know, we're so used to it down here in Texas. He said, we just have so much moving around and going on. We just got so used to it, we don't think nothing of it. He just tossed that in the mix, you know. In other words, he said, I don't call nobody. Well, I know he said that, but I also have heard the guys in Texas that get mad when nobody calls them. But you have to give some allowance for how many churches and big the work in Texas is that most, for the most part, came out from underneath the Houston church. But Brother Clyde Patton, he's felt like, I own all this. This is all mine anyway. He moved preachers around, didn't even ask them. I mean, he called some of them preachers and tell them, I want you to go next weekend to, you know, this town. I want you to go there and be in charge of that church service. You know, Brother so-and-so, he's flew the coop and we need somebody to go down there and help them people. I want you to go do it. He wouldn't tell him that he's fixing to move him there. He'd just let him go down there a couple of weeks and he'd say, I think you're doing such a good job, just you need to pack your goods and move on down there. Well, what about my church? He said, well, I'll take care of it. Don't worry about it. That's how he ran things. I mean, you got to understand that he knew this is my work. I built it. You men got your gift through me. You got what you got through me. And I put you in all these places and I'm over all of it. He came from old, you might have thought he was a gentle guy, but I guarantee you there was areas that Brother Patton was tough. Anyway, just the order, you know, we could go through that scripture in 1 Corinthians 11, where Paul said, I wouldn't have you ignorant concerning this, that God is the head of Christ. Christ is the head of man, man's the head of woman. and it says that Christ is the head of every man. Well, you're going to have to come to a place of interpreting what does Paul mean here. You know, there's some men that says, I don't need a pastor, I don't need anybody to be my head, because Jesus is my head. Well, how many times has he sat down and talked with you on your bed or at the table? How many personal conversations have you had with him? You know, you'll find out that he's the head of a big body. He's got lots of children, and he don't have time to deal with every one of them individually. He does have, you know, he will have an individual relationship with you through the Spirit, but God's order is not where he's going to sit down with every individual and you don't have to listen to anybody but him. No, he is the head of every man through a delegated order. You know, in the early church, he chose 12 men. He wouldn't have needed 12 men if he's going to be the head of every person that he added to the church. But he chose 12 men who were the chief apostles, sent men of God to rule. Jesus told them, he said, you will sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So those men were not given authority and a seat of judgment to judge that church, that body of people. And then men came in and were called of God, the Holy Ghost. You know, when they were born, the Spirit of God gave them spiritual gifts and talents. Those 12 apostles recognized those things. They ordained those men. They sent them out. They were in charge of an order. And that order watched over every one of the churches that came in under those 12 apostles' authority. And I can tell you right now, if those men weren't working very good with those apostles wasn't going to, they wouldn't use them. Nobody is going to use somebody that they can't even trust. That they, you know, and here again, this comes with wisdom and experience that you can't build just with everybody that'll do everything you say. You've got to recognize if God's working with a man, woman, you've got to consider that person, consider their character, their characteristics, where they came from, their mindset. And you have to realize that, you know, I'm not looking for somebody to just do everything that I want them to do. Brother Billy Brown mentioned in Brownsville, he mentioned this, said somebody told him not too long after Brother Patton started using him more and more, and somebody told him, said, don't you realize that Brother Patton just uses you? He's just using you. He said his answer was, well, I hope I'll be useful. You know, I hope he can use me. I hope I can be useful. I hope that I can fulfill his desires. He needs men. He said, I see that he needs some men to get with him and help him do what God called him to do, because he's a gifted man of God, and God put him in that place. I didn't have no trouble seeing it. See, some people never get that far. They don't never see that. They can't see that if I can work with this man that God's put in this place, it's going to please God, and I'm going to get promoted. And that's what I want anyway. I want to develop in leadership so that I can achieve what God wants me to do. You may not agree with everything along the way, but you'll get experiences. You'll learn what you feel like needs to be fixed, but you can't fix it until God lifts you up. See, I realize that. I can lift men up in this assembly and give them influence, and they can hurt me with it. I got enough sense to know that. They can get in you people's hearts. If I lift them up and promote you to these people, they finally get in your heart and you get in their heart, they can hurt you. They can hurt me with you. That all has to be. You've got to trust people. People are going to do wrong. You got to work that out. You got to trust that God gives you. Brother Patton used to say that once in a while. He used to say, I used to be scared of some of these guys that I gave influence to. They was coming up. He said, boy, I could tell people liked some of them. God, they loved them. They was getting influence with the people. But he said, you know what? God always gave me just a little bit more than he gave them, and it kept me in the place that none of them could take that place away from me. He said, God did that, and I had to trust God in that. All right.
I got a question.
Okay.
In the Watch Night service, you spoke about being a yes man. You spoke about being that the body has politics and being a team player. Can you harmonize with Sister McGowan's question on how to work in order with using man's tactics of politics? In other words, if a person becomes political with you, to elevate themselves, that cheapens their office, doesn't it?
It can, but a person...
Can you harmonize how to do that in a righteous manner where God can truly bless it, mm-hmm, instead of man working through man's hierarchy that we perceive in the Bible?
Yeah. You know, sometimes... it don't matter where you are, if you're in any place of authority where you've got several subordinates. You know, I started off years ago in the grocery store business, and I became a third man in Piggly Wiggly grocery stores when I was like 18 years old. That's, they have a manager, assistant manager, and a third man. And when I became third man, all of my buddies that I worked with every day started hating me because the assistant manager would tell me what to have them do, and I'd tell them to do it. If they didn't do it, I wouldn't put up with that. I'd tell them, you're going to have to do it, or I'd go tell the assistant manager he won't listen, he won't do what I'm telling him to do, and he might get fired. But but because I got in places of authority, people came to me and started saying there might be some benefit to be, buddy up to me. Well, after a period of time, you have to come to a place of understanding that you understand what that person's motive is, but you also may see that they have a genuine motive to want to be a part and want to be somebody and want to move forward. They want to succeed. And they may not know just exactly how to go about it. They may have some political motives, but they've got other motives that you can see are there too. So sometimes you just have to let that work and gently and patiently begin to remove and help them see that you don't need all that facade. You can, if you watch, and even in meetings and ministers' meetings, you can see some of these politics working. It's part of it. I think I made this statement that night that you have to learn how to play or operate within the spectrum of the politics.
Yes, you did. You said you have to learn how to play politics. My question is, if God is ever going to move the ministry of the body of Christ forward, sooner or later we got to quit playing politics.
Well, what I'm trying to deal with, Brother Pryor, is the fact that as long as we have flesh, as long as there's new people coming in, you're going to have all of that working. It's part of the flesh. It's part of the works of the flesh. And you're going to have men wise enough to overlook that, but yet still try to save the people. Because if you just cut them off and they don't have any way at all to figure out how do I move forward? In other words, all my peers are going to turn against me because I'm a yes man or they think I'm political, and it's the only way I know how to operate. I'm just telling you that men in authority that have wisdom will let that work to some extent, but they will correct it in time. And some men, there comes a place that you're too old, you're too mature, you've been here too long for all that, and we're not going to put up with it. We're not going to allow it. Which I think is where you're working on, is where, in other words, men that's supposed to be more chief men or more veteran or...
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I apologize.
No, I'm just saying that I'm not for politics. Somebody look the word, give me the dictionary of politics. Somebody, let's get the definition of that. Because all, I heard brother, matter of fact, it was Brother Brown said this one time, it got under my skin. He told us that all politics wasn't bad. I didn't like that sound of that. That didn't sound good to me because I'm against being political. I'm not one of these guys that's going to, I'm not going to come up and rub your shoulders and,
Would you say
that's
that
a bad? Wait a minute. Let me straighten that out. I'm not against people, because I like for people to rub my shoulders. So, but I'm talking about having a political motive, and just, trying to get somewhere with the wrong motive,
Political here, it says, or politics says shrewd or prudent in practical matters, tactful, diplomatic. Contrived in a shrewd and practical way, expedient, or political, the body politic. That's the three meanings of it.
So it can be shrewd, it can be
prudent.
Manipulative, prudent, it could be used properly.
Here's the eight.
Okay.
This one, the eight, it says,
Also, Brother Weinger says, play politics. See, if... Right. That's a position that we all well know the definition of that part, because we look at all the politicians in Washington, and then we've been pretty well trained to be against politics. So the word politics in here don't sound too good.
Here's another meaning.
Okay. It
says, is the practice and theory of influence other people on a civic or individual level. More narrowly, it refers to achieving and exercising positions of governance, organized control over a human community, particularly a state. It goes into that type of...
So I think really you could say I've got a right motive to try to influence people to work in order under the authority that we're in for the purpose of harmony and succeeding in what God wants, and that's political.
Would you put yes, men?
That's one of the definitions.
Politics and flattery all in the same bucket.
What?
Politics, flattery, and yes men. Is there a difference between a yes man and a man who is playing politics?
Well, I think from our definition that we just read, all politics isn't bad. And all yes, being a yes man is not all bad either. And neither, yeah, the motive is the, in other words, I think I was a yes man to Brother Leninger, both Brother Pattons. I done exactly what those men wanted me to do. I did question them when I had a question, when I had an appeal, and in areas that I didn't agree with them on, I tried to stay away from that. But I tried to please them in being a servant to them and working with them in every way I could, because I knew God's hand was on their life, even though that I knew they weren't perfect. So I was a yes man, and I've been called political. Because of that, I'm like Brother Brown. I hope I was useful to those men. I mean, look, it's just an absolute fact. Brother, those relationships is what lifted me up. Brother Ray Leninger was the fine old man that lifted me up in this body, in this ministry. I sat at the head table today because Brother Ray Leninger put me there. And men honored that, and they still honor it today after he's dead. He lifted me up. I think God did it, but I think he used Brother Leninger. I think God was in it. We'll find out. That's what we've always said. You know, I've seen men sitting at the tables and people would complain. What's that guy doing sitting at that? He don't belong there. Well, some of the leaders would say, well, he won't be there long then if he don't belong there. He won't make it. So just give him time. And I could name you men in this body today that sat at the head table ain't there anymore. So it's true. They won't stay there if they don't belong there. If they can't qualify, they won't make it in leadership.
One last question, then.
Mm-hmm.
Is in your personal ministry, Brother Smith's Ministries Incorporated, do you believe that your ministry cannot go forward unless it has all yes men? Or do you believe that it will require men who are contrary to you, even though they work in order with you? I believe that a person can be contrary and still be in order personally. It depends on the combative nature of the person. Just like the people, if you use the 1 Corinthians 11 there with the hair cutting, it says we have no such custom. If there's anybody be contentious, we have no such custom. But in your personal ministry, do you believe that your ministry can develop further if there's people who, I don't know the word here to use, maybe challenge a thought line that you have that are not yes men? Or would you prefer to have all yes men that just say, yes, sir, that's right? How would you personally let your ministry develop?
Well,
I don't think your ministry's done, by the way, even though you're you know, at your age, I think you're still in your stride personally. And that's not politics.
The I think my ministry, I don't think my ministry's over, but I may have, if I've got 10 good years left, I'll be very fortunate. You know, I'll be 65 this year, and five more years I'll be 70. And you know, after about 70, you've pretty well run your gamut. And I'd be all right with me if God used me till I'm 90 and my health holds out and I'm running, you know, 5 miles a day with Sister, I'll keep up with Sister Inez. And so, but I'm going to have to get started if I'm going to do that. Sister Inez, you're the only one in here that shouldn't have laughed. Anyway, I think my ministry has moved forward with opposition, because I've always had it. I'll add this to it. I wouldn't want to be one of them that's been the opposing opposition. I wouldn't want to be that in anybody, under anybody's ministry. You can appeal, you can question. In other words, there's enough negative and enough people that's always in disagreement and aren't going to work in harmony with you, and they're never going to move forward either. Till they learn that, they're not going to move forward very easily unless God has really called them for a very unique, special calling. But we have to have that negative drive. We've got to have the negative side, and God, you know, that's one of the, I don't think it's too easy to get too exalted in here, because there's just too many balloon poppers. There's just too many people that just keep, you know, I mean, you could kind of get the feeling high, but it don't take very long for somebody. Yeah, I don't care who you are, how big you get in here, there's somebody who'll still spit in your face and get right in the middle of you and let you know that they don't have an ounce worth of respect for you. And I don't care if you're Clyde Patton or, you know, James Souders or who you are. Every one of them has suffered it. I think I understand the gist, you know, of what you're saying. I don't want men just to be yes men and being... I do want men to say, you know, brother, I'm hoping that I can be a good enough leader that men can say, I can work with this man. I'm not going to take the negative side. I'm going to get in, work with him, and help him build what's in his mind. God's called him. It's his time. It's his hour. It's his day. When it becomes my day, I'm hoping there'll be enough men get in, support me, and help me do it. And, you know, I'm not just trying to build my kingdom. I'm watching all you men. I'm hoping that God, I've got things in my mind that I'd like to see God do with all of you, and it don't have to all include me. I'm getting too old, too tired anyway. I'm not wanting to be in charge of everything everybody's doing. You know, if I can help you, well, good. I'll help you a little bit if I've got time to help you. But I can't be everything to everybody. And if a man can take the ball and run with it, and God can use him, and I can bless it and use some of my authority to put a blessing on that and help it in any way that I can, then we're doing good. We're building the kingdom of God. So, you know, it's the same thing we've been talking about, order. You can go two, there's a ditch on both sides. You can have too strict order. You can have too loose order. You can be too political. You can not be willing to harmonize, become a part, get in, be a part of the team, being a team player, like I said. I'm glad Brother Pryor brought that up, because ever since I made that statement, I thought, boy, I hope that people don't think that I really believe in playing politics, because I don't. But I do realize there is politics involved, and you got to learn how to function within that realm and not just turn your thumbs down to it. Because there may need to be some adjustments, but there's some working in the realms of politics that's necessary. Now, that may take some more qualification, but I don't have time to talk about it right now, so let's go upstairs. Good subject.